I am all about self-care these days, and guess what? Body care is also self-care. Taking care of your body is a moment to practice mindfulness, self-love, and compassion, all things that I am fully behind right now. That's why I'm so glad to share a promo from one of our new sponsors, Osea. I'm obsessed with their Mega Moisture Duo that provides instant firming hydration and delivers a full body glow. It makes me feel so confident and refreshed to walk out the door with unbelievably glowing skin. And there's nothing more I love than getting premium skincare products at an incredible value. So, show your skin some love with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide and use the code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off.
The Dateable Podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host and producer, Julie Krafchik, as we explore this crazy dateable world.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Dateable Podcast, where we dig into the whys of people's behavior when it comes to modern dating. And then we're going to tell you the hows of navigating this whole dating scene, your love life, etc., along with our big announcement that we've been teasing for a while. I feel like the biggest tease right now. Only time in my life.
The how's has been what we've been asked for so long. Everyone's like, okay, the whys are amazing, but we need the hows. And that's basically what we set off to do. We're like, how can we bring the hows? And what is that question that everyone wants? Like, what is it ultimately that people want when they listen to Dateable? And I think the silver lining that really brought this to life was the pandemic, that we got to have so much close contact with all of you through the Facebook group, through Instagram, through all the community, and really hearing like what are the struggles, and really what people want is, you know, to go from that dating hamster wheel, like being on the apps, off the apps, endless cycles of dates, meeting emotionally unavailable people, getting ghosted, all the stuff that we hate about modern dating that everyone complains about. It's like, I don't want that. I want to just find my person, like finding that like real connection. Like, it's so hard these days for whatever reason to find that. It's like a needle in a haystack, or at least that's the feeling. So Yue and I really like put our minds together. We're like, we've talked to thousands of daters at this point. How can we use what we learned at Dateable and put this to good use that's really helping everyone reach the goal that they're trying to goal is to meet their person ultimately?
If you've been following us in our Facebook group as well as on social media, we've teased this out long enough, and we did reveal exactly what we're working on as far as the concept of it, which is a program to help you find your person. This is a tried and true method that we've developed in the last few years, and we've tried it on ourselves. Obviously, it's worked for both Julie and I. We've also tried it on others, unbeknownst to them, who've also seen great results from it. And we are so excited to share this method with a select group of people because, well, there are only two of us. So we love to share with everyone, but we can only take on so many at a time. And that is why we announced this early bird wait list in our Facebook group as well as on our social channels. Because if you sign up for the early bird wait list, then you'll be the first to know of when registration starts for this Finding Your Person program.
And you'll be notified because we're also going to be dropping a 6-part series of videos. And I think Yue and I, like, we've been thinking about this. Yue comes from the dating industry. I've read a shit ton of terrible dating books that I feel like basically did the opposite of for me to find my person. It totally hindered me in finding my person. So I think we're coming from this as like the anti-dating advice in a way.
Yes. Well, throw it all the bullshit, right? We've tried kind of everything, all the workshops, all the different seminars, all the different theories. And theories are great. I love getting theoretical. But then what do you do with that theory? Have you ever read a book and then thought, these are great theories, but Are they practical? What are some real life examples? So what we've come up with are, yes, there are theories, but also how do you implement and put them into practice in your real love life?
Yeah, I think that's really the thing that we developed is the balance of, you know, positivity, reflection, and action. We see so many people just, you know, spinning their wheels, overthinking and not taking enough action. And then we see others that are just diving in head first and not really reflecting at all. So, and also, like, what do you put out into the universe? Like, I think that could sound really hokey, but I do believe that people read the energy. And if you're projecting certain negativity, people on dates can feel that. And when you're vibrating that positivity, people like attract you like magnets. So if you want more information, definitely get on that early bird wait list. It's findingyourperson.com. Straight to the point, right? Findingyourperson.com.
We actually played around with the name quite a bit and we thought, is it finding love, finding the love of that you want, finding someone who meets your needs. But after speaking to so many people, finding your person, just, we get it. Yeah. You get it. We get it. It's like, what's your goal for coming here to Dateable? Well, everyone's like, well, I'm just trying to find my person. I'm trying to find that
basically
person.
And it feels damn good when you find your person, doesn't it?
Sure does.
I'm doing an ultimate test of my relationship this weekend. We're renting a 2-person kayak.
Oh boy. Well, you're not sleeping on it, are you?
No.
Okay. That would be the ultimate test.
It's not
test.
The ultimate test. What is it? The ultimate test is a trip to IKEA, a trip to the supermarket.
Yep.
I think the 2-person kayak kind of goes up there because you got a lot of coordination together.
I think that would be really fun. It'll be a good bonding experience. Let me know how you survive both physically and mentally from that.
There was an option to get like a to-go, basically if you need to use the bathroom while you're on there, like a to-go pack.
Okay. Did you get it?
No, we're like, we're going to take our chances. Also, probably not going to be on the kayak for 4 hours. Like, we have the rental for 4 hours. I don't think we're going to be in there for 4 hours.
Or you can just take a little dip.
Yeah, that's what I said. You know? It's like the world's biggest toilet, right? It's the ocean.
Yeah. And how awkward would it be if you're peeing off to the side with your partner right there? Like, it's not like he can hide and go somewhere else. He's going to be there.
I just want to know what it looked like. Have you seen those before? It's like there was one called Go Girl. Like, when you go camping, like,
I had to, my friend May used it when we hiked Kilimanjaro, and I remember she was like, this thing is going to be amazing in the middle of the night, I don't want to go to the bathroom. And then towards the end she's like, I'm just peeing out in the woods, like, I don't need this thing, I'm just squatting now, too lazy to get this thing out. But that's going to be exciting. I was talking to my boyfriend about what could be something that could bring us even closer, and he was joking that, you know, like, what if we just pooped in front of each other? I'm like, actually, yeah, going to the bathroom together would absolutely bring you closer together.
It's the ultimate sign that you just don't give a fuck anymore, right?
You know, it's like bathroom behavior. How those first few months of dating, it is like the most awkward thing when you have to go number two. Like, do I go at his place? Do I go beforehand? Do I just hold it? There were so many relationships I've been in that I would hold it for the first few months and I would just be like constipated all the time. And then you get to the point where it's like a tipping point. You're like, all right, we're seeing each other enough. You just openly talk about it. And then you get to a like too comfortable point where you to openly talk about your how regular you are and what you're eating and maybe sometimes what it looks like. It's crazy just how you can go from, I'm going to hold it, I don't ever poop, to like, mine was really good today. Just one turd.
Isn't that everyone's relationship goal right there?
But I guess the ultimate goal is to get 2 toilets side by side like they did back in the day. I think this, I don't know. Maybe
is that the goal?
Maybe I'm making this up. And then you sit back to back and then you talk about your relationship and do your thing.
I don't know. I think there's some things that are better to left to be mysterious.
I mean, talk about a bonding experience.
Yeah.
Talk about a bonding experience for sure. I did have, I switched therapists and I had my first therapy session today. It was virtual. And Julie, you'll think this is hilarious. We got on our call and she and I were wearing the exact same thing.
Stop.
Like this cape thing, you know, like this, I don't know, what would you call this a like a wrap or a cape. It's a very therapy kind of feeling thing. And I like wearing it when I'm in therapy because I can wrap myself in it. But she got on the call and we were wearing the exact same thing, like touching our capes in the exact same way. God. I'm like, wow, we are as one right now. She must be a great one for me. But she and I talked about dream interpretation quite a bit. And this is one thing I will share with our audience and then we can move on from this topic. But I used to think dream interpretation was to interpret what was happening in your dreams. And she gave me a really great piece of advice is you should always just remember how the dream made you feel. And that's what the ultimate takeaway is. So her advice is after you dream, after you wake up in the morning, jot down key words of how that dream made you feel. Don't worry about the details, who was in the dream, just how the dream made you feel. And see any patterns.
I had a nightmare the other night that my partner and I broke up.
Well, how did that make you feel?
Really horrible. It made me really scared. And I woke up and luckily he was sleeping next to me. And he's like, they got him here right now. And he's like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm like,
well, it's okay. So like you felt scared or maybe
Or maybe it's like this is something that you want to preserve and you don't want it to not be there, you know?
Yes.
Like I don't think I dreamt it because I feared that that would happen, but I think it was like this is something that's really important to me right now.
Yes.
And I don't want to lose it, you know?
Validated the importance of the relationship. I also had a dream about you last night.
Oh, shoot. Oh, God, I'm scared.
I have no idea. Remember, she said, it doesn't matter who's in the dream, what's in the dream. It's more how it makes you feel. I don't know where we were. I don't know, somewhere public. And you and I were walking. And I was holding your phone for some reason. Okay. And this man, I think a homeless man, came out of nowhere with a really aggressive bulldog. And the bulldog looked vicious. And it looked like he was about to set the bulldog free into the audience. And so I started running. I was like, no, I think there's something wrong with this situation. I'm scared for my life. I'm going to run. And halfway through my run, I turn around and you're not there. I don't know where you were. I don't know if you started running with me. I was so scared, but I had your phone. And the whole time I kept thinking, who's she going to call? How is she going to call people? If she needed help, how is she going to get help? So it really scared me. So, yes, I had a scary dream as well.
Wow. I don't even know what to make of that. What was the dream?
I don't think you need to make anything of that.
I thought you were going to say that we were holding hands, not holding a cell phone. I don't know why my mind went there.
Julie, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? We posted our photo of us making an announcement, and one of my friends, Josh, thanks, Josh, was like, engaged? Because the photo, I agree, legit looks like we are holding hands. If you know the photo we're talking about, you know exactly what's happening.
If he wants to see, there's like a whole slew of ones that are way better than that one. This is like the best of the bunch.
This is what happens when you have a wedding photographer taking photos. Now, in hindsight, we realize, because in the moment, we were like, yeah, put your head on my shoulder. That's cool. Yeah, put your pinky on my thumb.
Maybe they'll be released someday. We'll keep you posted.
It's a secret vault, our lesbian vault, of a lot of people who already think we're in a relationship. Rightfully so.
I'd love if that was our big announcement.
We are engaged.
I can't even imagine.
We've been working on this for years.
It would also be like a coming out. Like, it'd be so much going on right there.
You know what? Might be a better offering than anything else. That would get us more publicity than this program that we're working on.
Yeah.
Sorry to disappoint you all that it was an engagement announcement between Julie and I. So anyway, we are not engaged, but we are.
Sorry to break the news, everyone.
Very excited to release these photos. We've gotten requests to see these photos, so we will release them one of these days when we get really big. There's some really good ones.
Oh my God. Well, in the meantime,
the meantime, what is this episode about? Yeah. Maybe we should talk about that. Enough about us.
I'm so excited about this episode because I feel like, you know, it's kind of coming off of last week's about confessions Sins of a Reformed Ghoster, which got a really good reception. I think a lot of people just love this episode because it gave like a different look into the mindset of someone that's ghosting, right? Mm-hmm. You were always like, what's wrong with me? And she basically confirmed there's nothing wrong with you. It is all about that person and their avoidance. So if you didn't listen to that one, definitely check it out. But we're continuing this avoidance train this week. And we're talking to our guest, Greg. He's been a digital nomad for a really long time.
As long as I've known him.
I feel like this is a trend that's been starting with COVID of people working remote and moving all over the place. But Greg has really been the digital nomad. And even before that, he talks about, you know, like living in the city and being too busy. And I think a lot of times we all use this busy as kind of a way to avoid intimacy at the end of the day. Like I definitely did that for a while. Like I feel like until I stopped filling my social calendar like every second is when you could kind of like sit with yourself and be like, okay, why is my life this way when I want X, Y, and Z? And I think he's had a lot of those revelations over COVID time. And we're so excited to have him share those with all of you.
It's going to be so relatable for so many of you because in this society, we normalize busy, you know, it's like cool to be busy and it's normal to be busy when not really. I mean, if you have time to poo next to your partner or not, you have time for your friends or for the people that you are trying to connect with. And I really love this journey that Greg went on to realize this, that it's the avoidant attachment that he has that has enabled him to kind of run away from things when now he's ready to be in one place. Can you believe it? And to fully commit to building a life somewhere. It doesn't mean that your life doesn't work when you're a digital nomad. You're not going to find love. That's not the case. But I think it's all about your intentions. So if you are traveling a lot, always on the go, if your intentions are still to find your person, hint, word of great title for a program, and then you're on that path to do so. But if your intentions are to come off busy or seem unavailable or to seem like you're hard to get, then you're not going to find your person. You're just going to attract people who are trying to prove something to themselves.
Well, I think a lot of times when we enter digital nomacy and travel, it's like to explore and find ourselves. That can always be essential for that next step when you are ready to like find that person a bit more. But I think it's sometimes hard if you're in exploration mode to, you know, to settle down. I hate the word settle down, but, you know, to be a little more
grounded.
Or, you know, just slow. I feel like
slow. You just got to be a little slow, okay?
Slower pace of life is what I meant to say.
You know, that was the goal. Like,
I don't know.
I hate the word settle down. I just like the word slow.
Just be slow. I don't know. I feel like before the pandemic, I was definitely more go, go, go. And then I realized how much just slowing down was important and how much I even enjoyed like my social interactions better when it was a bit slower. And I know it sounds weird to say that you enjoyed social times during the pandemic, but I personally had a really great year socially during the pandemic. And I think sometimes like for like the pace that you're going at, it just allows you to connect deeper with people when it is a little slower.
Or I guess more present. It's mindful and it's more present. And you're not thinking about how do I fill my calendar? You're thinking about how do I fill my cup in this moment?
Right. Or you start to like appreciate little things more, like going for a walk or going to the park. Like I think like I actually got the pleasure of meeting one of our former guests, Jeff Harry, the other week. Event producer's birthday party. You might remember him for Making Dating Fun Again, the play expert. And he met my boyfriend also. And he was like, what was the best date you guys went on? And we kind of were both like, I don't even know. Like, because there's just so many times that even just being in like a presence, not doing much has been our favorite. So we kind of talked about this after. It's like even just going to the park and like laying down or like having the Sunday couch test, right? Where you're just doing nothing with someone can actually be the times that you like greatly enjoy. It doesn't have to necessarily be this crazy adventure all the time. Although it's obviously fun to bake that in sometimes, it doesn't need to be just nonstop on the go activity, activity, activity. I feel like the connection comes with slowing down a bit.
So maybe the question should be, what has been your best date activity?
Mm.
And then what has been your best date where you connected the most?
Mm. Yeah.
I think it needs to be expanded on, because what has been your best date is it's a hard question to answer, because people tend to fall into the activity of the date mm-hmm. and not so much the person that you're on the date with.
Right. Or like, what was that time that it was like a turning point in your relationship? And that could be like a mm-hmm. little moment. Doesn't even
That's
have to
a
be
good
a
one.
Date. Yeah.
Yes. Turning points or crossroads or turning points are always mm-hmm. great moments to pinpoint.
Yes.
Great. So that's the episode coming up. And now we're going to get into our question. This question is somewhat related. We had someone write in and say, I've been seeing someone I really like, but he seems really busy. He's always busy with work, busy with friends, busy with his family. Do I say something to him or should I just wait it out and wait till he's less busy? I've definitely dated someone like that.
Whew, yeah.
In the past. I've been that person too.
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing to ask, and it's hard for us because we don't know the situation, is there a situation that has an end point? Like, is he, for instance, finishing up school and it ends next month and he's in finals or whatever? I'm just making up scenarios. Or is this just a perpetual busyness? Because I think those are very different things.
Yes. And I think about when I was avoiding people and trying to come off extremely busy, the difference was, and you're exactly right on, Julie, is that I would either say, oh, I'm still busy this weekend. Like, there was no end in sight, right?
Yeah.
But for the people I really liked, I would give them a specific date. I am really busy until I come back on this day. I would love to see you that same day. They
right.
will give you a timeline if they are serious about connecting with you.
I mean, there are periods of everyone's lives. Like, I'm even just thinking about us right now as we're like putting together this program. Like, there's just a lot going on. And if I was in the dating world or with someone that wasn't as established, it might be hard to, you know, make that time commitment. Mm-hmm. But that being said, like, I am still making sure that I have more than ample enough time for my partner current day. Mm-hmm. So I think the other flip side is people prioritize what they want to prioritize. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a new relationship, if someone was super into it, they will prioritize it to some degree. It's always hard to give like blanket yes or no, because there's some circumstances that really just don't allow someone to prioritize. So I think it's digging in a little deeper of what is it that they're busy with.
Mm-hmm.
Like it, and that is kind of, that might be up to your intuition a bit. Like, is this stuff that feels very pressing that you understand why they might not be able to give you the time? Back to the example of finishing school, for instance, if they are wrapping up papers and doing stuff that have very time commitments on them, it may be more understandable that they can't be around every second or respond to texts immediately. But if they're just like shooting the shit with their friends all the time, like, I don't know if that's necessarily enough of a reason that they're not available to you.
And it really comes down to how you feel around this person. Do you feel, two very distinct questions here, do you feel like this person's fitting you into their schedule, or do you feel like this person's making time for you?
Mm-hmm.
There are two very distinct avenues that you can go down. If they're just fitting you in, then you're an afterthought. You're like this, I don't know, puzzle piece. And they're like, hey, I have some room here. I'm going to put her in here. But if this person's making room for you and making time for you, they push away other obligations to spend time with you. So check back in with how you genuinely feel around them.
But the question is, should I bring it up to them? I think absolutely you should, because they might not even be aware that they're doing this. And I think there's nothing wrong with saying like, okay, if the scenario is it's busy with an end date, I think you can kind of maybe leave it a little and see if things free up once that end date happens, or maybe it's even planning something. If they have something big, maybe it's saying like, oh, let's celebrate when this is over on X date, and seeing their receptiveness to it. But if this is just a perpetual busy, I think you should have that conversation and say something like, hey, I really like you. I really enjoy spending time with you. Sometimes though, it feels like I'm kind of an afterthought, or I'm second to other stuff going on. Like, what's your take? And kind of just like see what they say from there, like leave it open and, you know, have that conversation, make it like a back and forth conversation. It doesn't need to be a confrontation or anything. I think it's just simply stating how it's making you feel of an afterthought and just seeing how they respond to it. How they respond to it will tell you everything. If they kind of go into mode of, no, I'm not, like, you're crazy, you're not believing this, like, that is very telling versus them being like, oh, I wasn't aware I was doing this. Let's figure out how to fix this.
Yes. My therapist said something to me today I thought was a great technique is you say, my perspective, I want to share with you my perspective. Do you think I can share with you? Ask for permission. Do you think I can share with you? And the person will probably say yes. And so it puts in the context that this is your perspective and how you see things, and not so much you're attacking them for it. But practice open communication. Everything we've just given you right now is a great opportunity for you to hone in your communication skills and to communicate your needs. So good luck with that.
Good luck.
Okay. On to announcements.
Let's do announcements. Well, you heard the big one. FindingYourPerson.com. Get on that early bird wait list. As always, follow us on Instagram at Dateable Podcast. Join Love in the Time of Corona, which is our Facebook group. We had our first weekly sound off this last week, which is the updates we've been making to the sounding board. And we had a host-led session. We had two of our hosts, Shieldy and Brian, along with Janice kind of overseeing our moderator. The discussion that they had, they broke up into smaller groups, was all about how to ditch the checklist to find the right person. So good. And the response was amazing. People that have been with us doing these happy hours, discussions, all the stuff that we've been doing, said this was by far their favorite one yet, which means that we're on to something. So I was really glad to see that. I think that having a bit more of the focused conversation, it lets people know, like, okay, I'm going to clear out my Wednesday night for an hour to come to this. It's going to be worth my time. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the people in this group just continue to amaze us all the time. Just the level of introspection, emotional intelligence. Like, this is a really good group to surround yourself with. So if you're feeling alone on your dating journey, having this community is essential. So go to datablepodcast.com/soundingboard and you can get in. We just have one level. Keep it simple. Mm-hmm. Just be a member.
That's it. Datablepodcast.com/soundingboard. That's it.
Okay, let's do quick message from our sponsors.
This episode is made possible by Lugs. Amidst the golden age of the 90s, Lugs found its footing as a leader within the footwear and fashion space. Priding itself on quality materials and supreme comfort, the brand never wavered with the passing of trends. Whether you remember the brand's early appeal within the hip-hop culture or the countless celebrity endorsements, one thing remains the same: Lugs' distinctive style. Julie and I both have a few different styles of Lugs shoes, ranging from their iconic boots to their canvas sneakers. Even though they're so different in style, one thing remains the same. They're all so comfortable and light. I love my flirt high zip boots that I can wear with cute summer dresses, and my canvas sneakers go so perfectly with my jeans and t-shirts. Fun, comfortable, everyday wear, realistically priced and affordable. So go treat yourself. You can never have too many pairs of Lugs. Exclusively for our beautiful listeners, get 30% off full price items now by going to lugs.com and entering the code DATEABLE. Again, that's LUGZ.com. and entering the code DATEABLE for 30% off full price items. This episode is brought to you by One Last Kiss by Cat Martin. Colorado rancher Sam Bridger will do anything for a friend, even if it means babysitting a rich city girl who knows more about high fashion than horses. Blonde, beautiful Liberty Hale looks like a model and acts like a spoiled brat. But Sam senses another side to the young woman who has lost so much of her family, and she can't deny the heat just one look at her ignites. Libby is determined to get through her time on the ranch. Her inheritance depends on her putting in a solid month's work. She hadn't imagined her boss would be a sexy, straightforward cowboy, and she's surprised to discover just how much she wants him. As life in the Colorado sunshines begins to burn away her grief, Libby and Sam's attraction to each other starts to sizzle. And there's so much more to the story. Get your hands on One Last Kiss by Kat Martin at KensingtonBooks.com or wherever books are sold.
Okay, let's hear it from Greg.
When I think about our guest, I think of the phrase, catch me if you can, because in the last, 6-7 years I've known Greg, I've caught him maybe like 3 or 4 times. And each time he was on his way to somewhere else. This international man of mystery. He is 35 years old, currently living in Bozeman, Montana. Good to know where I can catch you if I need to. He's been there for 9 months. He's originally from Acton, Massachusetts. He's single and actively going on dates. The topic, as you all know, is about dating while living this nomadic lifestyle. But we want to dive deeper into this topic because it isn't just about a lifestyle, but also like things that have changed during COVID that have maybe amplified your nomadic lifestyle. So let's just first reflect back. Well, first, hello, Greg. Nice to catch you on video.
Hey, Greg. I'm so glad that you're here because I think this is so relevant for so many people, especially with the changes that COVID is bringing, that it's allowing people more nomadic lives. So I'm really excited to hear what you've learned from your experience, what you would do all over again, and what you wouldn't repeat when it comes to dating and relationships, of course.
Totally. I've had so many people reach out in like the last year and a half and like ask me about all sorts of aspects of like living and working remotely.
More than ever before, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
And you're kind of living the dream. I feel like, especially in the Bay Area, a nomadic lifestyle is what we all strive mm-hmm. for, to work remotely, to live anywhere in the world, and to have the freedom to travel. What we want to hear about today is how that nomadic lifestyle plays into your dating life. So if we had to go back to the moment you decided you wanted this type of lifestyle, how long do you think you've been a nomad for?
I mean, even my last couple of years in SF, I had a lot of flexibility with my job. So I would kind of go all over kind of when I could. I've wanted to do it for forever, honestly. Like when I finally got my camper and moved into it, it had been like a decade since like I had thought about doing it in college.
I feel like you've lived, like you would take stints in Argentina too. So you went like globally during this nomadic life as well.
Yeah. I mean, I would travel for skiing a lot. So yeah, I would go down to South America to ski when it's summer up here.
And then how do you date? If you're constantly on the go, you're in different countries, if not in different countries, you're at least in a different city. It seems like all the time. How do you date? How do you sustain relationships?
I mean, I'm going to disappoint a lot of people here and probably say it's not easy.
Yeah,
it can't be.
The number one thing is that people tend to not always take you seriously because, you know, you're transitory. I get it. You have to show people that you're interested and available and also flexible. I think for me, that was really key to be like, hey, you know, if this starts working out, you know, I can swing back through.
I feel like you always had like long distance things going on. Like I remember like you'd always be like, oh, there's a guy here, there's a guy here, like all over different parts. Like how did you find like coming through? Like that promise is obviously good that you'll be back again, but clearly it's more challenging than if you could see them every day and build that into your life. Like how did you kind of have that play out? Like was it difficult or did it work?
I mean, I think it was difficult for sure. Like I said, you know, people tend to not take you super seriously. And then just for me personally, you know, there's a stage like, yeah, it's exciting at the beginning, but it's also you're just getting to know that person. And if you're gonna like, you get to know them a little bit and then you take off and then you're back again, it's kind of like it's maybe not at square one, but it's not, you know, the same as, you know, going on dates with someone every week or something like that. I'm pretty good at staying in touch. So, you know, I kind of did a lot of video chatting and just getting to know someone. And like, in some ways, I found that like that can be really lovely. It has its own pitfalls for sure. But I found that you get to know someone really well without having sex confuse things or complicate things as much. And I find that I myself like probably make better choices.
I feel like you were doing the COVID dating before COVID, like video dates, taking it slow without sexual like encounters because you had to. You were totally before your time, Greg.
And if we were to get real for a sec, if you said people couldn't take you seriously, should they take you seriously? I'm putting myself in the shoes of people that you may have come across. Mm-hmm. I would think, what a cool life this guy leads. He's traveled the world. And you never know where he is. That's awesome. I'm attracted to that. But do I want to be in a relationship with someone like that? Because they could have, in theory, 10, 20 other relationships from all the different places.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I didn't really do that. I kind of like, I go a little crazy if I have too many things on the stove, kind of. So I usually go, you know, one at a time. That's not to say like there's not guys I'm potentially interested in elsewhere, but I usually like, as far as dating, however you want to define that, I do that one at a time. And then that's something I do for myself more than for anyone else. Yeah, I mean, I think I had a couple instances that were very frustrating where somebody would meet up with me for a date and then be like, oh, you don't live here? Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, it's literally the first thing I say on my profile.
Oh, someone didn't read.
Yeah, you're like, I'm being very transparent.
And I was like, well, that's now that I'm mostly in Bozeman, or at least home-based in Bozeman, I totally get it. I look at people just passing through, and Bozeman is a place where people pass through a lot. And I'm like, do I want to go on a date with this person? They're going to be gone in 2 weeks anyways. I just, you know, I tried to make sure on the first date that the guys I was seeing knew that, like, if that I'm at a point in my life that if this goes well, that I will stick around. But as I learned, that has its own challenges as well, because you're starting out a relationship, you don't really know this person that well, and frequently you're marooned in a place where you don't know anyone else. Mm-hmm. So like, they're kind of your whole world in that place. And so, and it's very early. So it's like kind of puts a lot of pressure on a relationship. Even if I can kind of hang around, that means I like very quickly have to find new friends and find stuff to do that's you know, not tied to that person.
Because you don't have a life there, pretty much.
Right.
Like, yeah. Interesting. So were you upfront with people being like, I date one at a time, like I am looking for a relationship? That was something that you were pretty upfront with, despite the nomadic lifestyle.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just pretty upfront in general. Yeah. I would make sure they knew that I was nomadic, but I was actually serious about dating. The one at a time thing, if it comes up, I'll tell people. And a lot of times, I mean, you know, I used to live in SF, so I'm like, my basic assumption is that they're going on dates with other people, and that's fine. And I've told guys before that, like, I'm just dating you. We're not at a point where, like, you have to be doing the same thing, but just know that, like, that's where I'm at.
That's good.
And what has been your intention? Is it to get into a long-term serious relationship?
Yeah. Like, for sure, 100%. I mean, it's not something I've ever had. It's a little embarrassing, but at 35, my longest relationship ever has been like 4 months.
A lot of people are on our show or in our community that say that. So there's nothing to be embarrassed about at all.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think there's a certain, I have avoidant tendencies for sure. I think the travel fits into that very well.
Mm-hmm.
And dating people that don't live close to you also fits into that very well.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of trying to get away from that a little bit currently. I lived in SF for like 8 years. I dated on and off throughout that time. And I never made anything happen, really.
But you were also leaving all the time. You were here. You were living in SF for 8 years.
1 foot in, 1 foot out.
This is true, which was a problem for sure. But I think it was, you know, at a certain point, I think for me, I reached a certain age and I was like, well, I just have to look in the mirror.
Mm.
Like, there's a reason none of my relationships are working out. And I'm the only common denominator at this point.
So was that part of the reason that you decided to like settle down in Bozeman? And was like, did you have these revelations over COVID?
I've had these revelations for a while.
Okay.
It actually like, well, when I moved into my truck, basically, like doing it alone, most people, a lot of people that do van life or whatever, do it with a partner because it gets really lonely. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I've gotten to do amazing, amazing stuff. But there has been times where I wish I had somebody to share that with.
Mm.
Like, you know, an incredible sunset, an incredible moment or something. And I can definitely tell my, you know, friends and family about it and they'll be stoked for me. But it's not the same as having somebody there experiencing that with you.
When you had the four-month-long relationship, your longest, was that during your nomadic lifestyle or was it when you were settled in San Francisco?
There was one when I was like leaving right before I left for, I had like
always
had my truck already.
Always.
Time is a bitch.
And then the other relationship I had had before that, that was official anyways, was in college.
So during, yeah, during nomadic lifestyle, you were pretty much on your own with things here and there.
I actually met a guy in Bozeman when I was nomadic.
Okay.
That was like, I was very, very into. And we kind of made it work for a little bit. Well, my truck broke down in Bozeman and I ended up meeting him while my truck was broken down.
It was like a forced stay.
Is that how you ended up
kind
in
of,
Bozeman?
Yeah. Like I dated him for a while and then there's a really big age gap and that didn't really work out. We're just very different.
What's really big?
He was 20 and I was 32.
Yeah, that's not that big.
No, the age gap itself is like... wasn't necessarily the problem, right? It's just that he was young.
Yeah.
I want kids and like that's where my mind is at right now. And it was something I had mentioned to him like 3 years ago, like when I gave him a whole speech about why we shouldn't date.
Wait, why you should or shouldn't date?
Shouldn't.
Okay.
I mean, initially he was the one that was like super kind of like wanted to hang out more and I was the one who was like, you know, this is cool. You're like into a lot of the same stuff I am and you seem really awesome, but like you're 20 and like, you know, we'll hang out a little bit and then we'll go our separate ways.
Stage of life is a big thing for sure.
Yeah.
And do you think that's sort of, how would you call this? Basically, people who would be attracted to your kind of lifestyle, maybe at a stage in life where they're trying to figure shit out.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking at statistics alone, it probably veers on the younger side.
Yeah. I think in general, what I've found out is that I'm really into spending time outdoors. I'm really into traveling. And people who tend to like those things tend to be very avoidant.
It's a lot of solitude, right? And always on the go, no home base. I could totally see that.
Right. Well, and like, you know, being outside, spending time outdoors, being whatever, backpacking, ski touring, whatever you, all of those things, it's a sense of pride of being resourceful and adaptive and independent.
Interesting.
And independence works, cuts both ways, right?
Like, yeah.
There's a lot of people, and myself, my previous self included, who view a relationship as a threat to their
freedom.
Their freedom, yeah. and independence.
That makes sense.
Let's take a quick break from this riveting conversation for a few announcements.
Confession, I have a secret about how I've been able to update my wardrobe with only high quality but affordable pieces these last few years. And now I have to let the secret out because they're sponsoring this episode. It's called Quince. Yeah, if you know, you know. Quince has premium European linen dresses, gorgeous washable silk tops, luxurious cashmere. And the best part, they're priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. So no more middleman, and that's why it costs less to you. I know Julie got herself some nice cashmere pieces, and at only $50 a sweater, come on. And I recently ventured into home goods. I got myself some premium cotton percale sheets. Ultra cooling and just feels like a five-star hotel every night, and it's so perfect for the upcoming hot months. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/dateable for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/dateable to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/dateable.
Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
Want relationship advice from one of the leading experts in the field of couples therapy? Then Reimagining Love is for you. Hosted by one of our favorite guests on Dateable, Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She is a clinical psychologist, couples therapist, professor, and award-winning author. It is your destination for profound, enlightening discussions about love, family, intimacy, and everything in between. But more than that, she gives us the opportunity to reimagine ourselves, our relationships, and our world. So on the show, Dr. Alexandra gives in-depth research-backed takes on topics like dating, jealousy, communication, commitment, personal growth, and features notable guests from the worlds of therapy, academia, and pop culture, such as me and Julie from Dateable, among other people you may have heard of like Esther Perel, Susan Cain, and Emily Nagoski. Her podcast is incredible, definitely worth a listen. We loved being on it, and we love having Dr. Alexandra on our show. So you can find her podcast, Reimagining Love, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so you had the time on the road when you were in the RV that you were like experiencing sunsets, seeing all this stuff. Was there any other moments that you're like, okay, something's got to change? Like, I want to switch up my lifestyle.
I mean, I kind of ignored a lot of my friends for a while who were like, you're not going to meet someone this way.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, no, it could happen. I know it's harder, but it could happen. And I still believe that. I do think it could happen. Yeah. Did meet that guy in Bozeman, and that was one of the most meaningful relationships I've ever had. Mm. It didn't work out, but it was still, yeah, incredibly meaningful for me, but it is hard.
Right. There's always an option for it too, but I do think that like have a home base somewhere, you're just like more kind of settled down by default in a way. So it kind of lends itself maybe to more of that.
Yeah. Are you resistant to that idea? Because Julie, you know what this reminds me of is our episode with Jesse and Cassie, mm-hmm. who are on our last season. Jesse left San Francisco to explore the world and thought he was going to live this nomadic lifestyle. And in the middle of his travels, he couldn't stop thinking about this one girl that he had a friendship with back home in San Francisco. And it took him almost a year of traveling and being nomadic to say, she is the one, and I'm going to get her, and we're going to make San Francisco our home base, or wherever the two of us are going to find a home base, and then we can go and explore the world together. Like, what is your theory around what could possibly happen and make it work?
I think being on the road alone, traveling alone, gives you a lot of time to think. So that doesn't surprise me. I mean, I initially hit the road. My initial kind of feeling was I've been in SF for 8 years. And part of being in SF for me was I want to date. I want to try to like find a boyfriend. at a certain point, I was like, I've been here 8 years. Nothing's happened. Mm. And I'm not going to sit around and wait. I'm going to go live my life. I'm going to do the things that I want to do, and especially take the opportunities that I have. And, you know, that will make me more attractive to the right partner instead of just like hanging around and waiting for stuff to happen.
Totally.
I think that that time to think can really clarify a lot of things. What it clarified for me was that the problem was not SF. The problem was me.
Well, that I feel like people always do that. They always blame their city.
I know.
And I think it's like it is a double-edged sword because I agree with you what you just said. It's like you shouldn't wait for like if you want to do something with your life, you shouldn't necessarily like wait because you want to meet someone. But then on the other side of it, usually just moving somewhere else isn't going to solve the deeper problems of what's going on. It's like a kind of an external fix, right?
Totally.
So, okay, so you're on the road, you're having these revelations. How did you get to the point that you're like, this is me, not, it wasn't San Francisco, but it's my own stuff going on?
I have a friend who for years was talking to me about reading the book Attached, mm-hmm. and attachment theory in general.
Okay.
And he's just super interested in that stuff. And I listened to a lot of podcasts, including this one, and I started just examining more. I think it was similar for me for like starting therapy. You just start thinking about things that maybe you were blind to before, and your kind of mindset towards it matures a little bit, and you start realizing that these things are not inevitable.
I think that's a really good point, though, the whole like slowing down and taking this stuff in. Because part of the challenge, like let's say you don't do the nomadic life, but you're just in a city. I know I did this for years. Like I just kept myself busy, always going out. I was always surrounded by people. I never really had like alone time to be deep in my thoughts. And I think I didn't realize like subconsciously that I was doing this, but it was a form of avoidance in a way. Like, have either of you dealt with this? Because I think people that maybe aren't nomads can relate that sometimes even being in the city that you think that you're settled down in, you're still not like open necessarily.
Totally. I think that I know for myself that like when I was dating actively, like now I look back on it and I was like, I was not ready to be in a relationship. I did not. Mm-hmm. I wanted kind of what everybody else wanted, which was like an activity partner, somebody who's going to do stuff with me when I want to and what I want to. And that's not a relationship, right? That's
no.
That's fun. But it's not, there is no such person, right? Like everybody has their own personalities and their own interests, and that's what makes it great. But I think I needed that time to just be alone and think about things to realize that. And I feel kind of bad because I dated pretty actively on and off. And now I realize I wasn't really serious about it.
That's I relate to that so hard. I felt the same way when I was living in New York, surrounded by noise and people mm-hmm. and crowds and events and a bunch of shit going on. And it was the loneliest time of my life because I used that noise to drown out my own thoughts. And even though I thought I was living this really eventful and fun life, when I went mm-hmm. home at night, it was eerily quiet. And I just did not want to deal with whatever thoughts I had coming to my head. But then I would also argue, couldn't you also say that for being on the run all the time?
Oh, totally. Right?
'Cause I felt like at some point in New York, too, I kept thinking, okay, I'm done with the New York noise and distractions. I'm just going to go skip town. I'm going to go to this other part of the world and all my problems will be resolved by the time I come back. And when I come back, all the problems were even worse.
Right. Well, I think 100%. I think that's why people always look to go to a different location as the solution. I think that's why people are drawn to the nomadic lifestyle too, because you're always on the go. I mean, the reality is it's like you could probably make whatever work, but it's not where you are. It's what work you're doing on the inside is really probably the deep down piece of it.
That's true. That's true. Totally.
Like when your house is mobile, it's very easy to outrun your problems. You mm-hmm. just get in and go somewhere. Right. They'll always catch up to you, though.
So here's the tricky part, and I'm sure a lot of people are asking this question. Greg, you know you have an avoidant attachment style, yet you live this life where it's very easy for you to pick up your shit and leave. So how are you reconciling the two where you're still, you know, you have this avoidant attachment style and you live a life that could enable it. How do you not let it enable it?
Carefully. I'm trying to take the good that I see. I mean, I am proud of the fact that I'm like very self-sufficient and independent. Mm-hmm. And I think to the right person, that will make me an attractive partner. But I'm also trying, you know, I'm in Bozeman now. I'm trying to be here a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I still want to travel. I still love to travel. I still love to ski a lot. But I'm trying to make an active effort to be here, to have community, to potentially date someone and be willing to understand that, yeah, I can't at that point just take off for half a year. Or,
right.
You know, I still, you know, I do go to Argentina every year, and that's one of my favorite things to do. And I really want to keep on doing that. But if I'm dating someone who can't do that with me, then, you know, maybe I go for a month instead of three.
Mm.
But I do think for me personally, it would be very important to date someone who's independent on their own. I just think it's hard to find people who are independent, but also want a serious relationship, because those two things, I don't think have to be opposed, but a lot of times I think we all feel like they are, or like speaking for avoidant people.
Yeah. I mean, it's the whole thing comes down to balance. Like, it's always easier said than done, but this is really the root of it. It's like when you're always, I'll just use like being like outdoors and active and looking for the activity partner. Cause I think that's such a interesting piece too. Like, so many people are like, I need my partner to have the exact same hobbies as I do. But if you're just having an activity partner and that's the only thing they're like bringing to the table, that you're just not even having like that deep connection, because when you're skiing, you're not even talking to the person, right? Like, you're just like doing an activity. So Greg's like, no, I don't agree.
Well, when you're ski touring, like, the myth about ski touring is that you actually get to ski a lot. You don't ski a lot. You mostly just walk. Oh. And so you have a lot of time actually to get to know someone. It's actually, I think some of it's incredible how quickly you can get to know someone, because there's no distractions. There's no nothing. It's the same thing with backpacking or hiking. You're out in nature. Your cell phone doesn't work. There's nothing else going on. You're just hoofing it, basically. And so what are you going to do? You're going to talk to that person. Actually, the guy in Bozeman, our first date, we went backcountry skiing and it was incredible.
Okay, so you're proving my point in a very different way that I started off, but I'll still take the same point. Is like, you find, and you can actually do the stuff you want to do, but you need to have the balance that you're making room for that other person. Because I think, like, when you first said it about outdoor activity, a lot of it is solo or some of that. If you're always doing that stuff on your own, it's hard to let another human in. But it doesn't mean necessarily that you have to like be like, I'm never going to do my hobbies again. It's just finding that compromise and balance that you can still do it in a way that lets in that partner.
Totally. And it's something I struggle with, am struggling with right now, and have struggled with in the past, is like how much I've designed my whole life basically around being able to travel as much as possible and being outdoors as much as possible. And like right now, that is super important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be important to me in a decade? Yeah. But is it going to be as important to me? Mm. Maybe not. And like, I've definitely met guys before that we have overlapping kind of interests in that, but that the other part of it just isn't there. And I think as I've gotten older and as I've thought more about it, you know, I care much more about whether somebody's going to be a good partner, if they have, you know, like if they're warm and caring and thoughtful and all of the things you want in a partner, rather than if they ski or not.
Right. And your outdoor activity with them can evolve over time, too. Like, maybe it's not right. what it looks like today. Maybe there's, like, taking your kids for a sled ride or something. Like, there's different levels of activity that can accomplish the same thing.
Totally. Totally. And, you know, I would also, you know, love to introduce somebody to those things mm-hmm. if they're not.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be difficult for me to date someone who's not into being outside at all, who's miserable in the cold. That would be very, very tough. Maybe not impossible. I did date a guy for a little bit who hated the cold. That's a whole nother story. He was an Olympic bobsledder.
And hated the cold?
And hated the cold. It was basically cool runnings, which, side note, like, I did not, we talked for like a month before I mentioned cool runnings to him. And on our first date, that was all that was running through my head. And when I finally said it, I was like, I'm sure you get this all the time, and I've waited a fucking month, and I deserve some fucking credit.
I feel like that is such false advertising.
I know, right? And I met him in British Columbia, too. And he's like, no, I'm from the South and hate the cold.
Oh my gosh. It's like meeting a pastry chef who hates sweets. You're like, wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The part that I struggle with right now is, like, there's a difference between interests and lifestyle.
Yes.
I think interests are easier to find alignment because I can always say, I don't like the cold, but I'm willing to learn about why you love the cold. I'm willing to learn how to ski better. Like, these are things we can open ourselves up to. Lifestyle wise, first of all, it's already hard enough to find a partner, okay? Even if you lived in the same city, all these variables have to align. And then you mm-hmm. have to factor into these other things have to work out, as such as financial planning. This person would need to be financially stable enough to move from place to place. And also they would have to have work that allows them the freedom and remote work ability to be flexible. And they also have to have this desire, I guess, or not even desire, but maybe they don't have family that is tying them down, like caring for the elderly or caring for an ill family member. I just feel like there's so many other lifestyle factors that need to align. And I'm just curious if that's something that you found in your dating whirlwind.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've given up on a lot of, like, it's just not given up, but, like, if somebody comes along that is able to do all of the things that I do with me, that would be fucking amazing. I'm not holding my breath for mm-hmm. that. I've been incredibly lucky, and it's, you know, it's something I've wanted to do, and it's something I've pushed for, but I've also had the opportunity to do it, and it's pretty rare. And it's becoming more common. We'll see what the post-COVID world looks like. But given all that, there's a lot of freedom and flexibility that I have that most people will probably not ever had. As a small aside, that all being said, I know a lot of people who have talked to me before and been like, oh, I would love to do what you do. It's amazing. And you're just so lucky. Depending on your career, that can be a hard thing. But I've definitely had that conversation with plenty mm-hmm. of people who are, I've been like, you can.
Right.
Like, you could totally do it. There's a cost associated, but you could do it.
So you could meet someone that's in the same page and you could give them kind of like that push to do it. Or I think what I'm also hearing is, like, you're entering this next stage of your life that you're, like, looking for something to be a little more, you know, putting a relationship first, maybe. And you're like, at least I've had this opportunity. And it's not that I'm going to give up on the outdoors. It's not going to give up on the travel. I'm just going to fold it in with the relationship more at the forefront, opposed to in the past where relationship was kind of a secondary that came with it.
Totally. I still have my camper. That's not going anywhere.
And it shouldn't. I mean, I don't think people should, like, change who they are and what they want to do. But I do agree with you. Like, there is a cost of being always on the go or always so busy. We hear people even that are in their cities that are just, like, too busy to fit in a date. And it's like, well, how are you expecting that you're ever going to meet someone? If you don't have time now, how are you going to have time for a relationship? So it is something you kind of do need to carve out the space. And it can be difficult when you don't see progress. prospects and you're like, why would I do that when I could be doing X, Y, and Z? But I personally think you do kind of need that energy to attract that person.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think somebody who's going to be attracted to me hopefully will be stoked that I've done all this stuff and will want to do at least some of it with me in the future. But I think I swung from like one extreme to another, right? Like I was in SF and I still had my tendencies and I was gone a lot, even in SF. But then I was like, this isn't working. Fuck this. I'm going to go out on a road, on the road, and I'm just going to do my thing. And, you know, maybe somebody will come along, hopefully. And so now I'm just trying to like find a balance of traveling sometimes, having a community, giving space to be able to meet someone. I feel like I'm being like a little nihilistic about like meeting people on the road. I think it is possible for sure. I just think it's difficult and you need to really put effort into staying in touch with people you're interested in. But then that's a whole nother issue because then you're investing a lot in a person that you don't really know if you guys are going to get along in person that much. And I've definitely been in that situation too, where I invested a lot in someone only to find out that they're a lot more avoidant than I am and that it was great when we were separated, but when we're, you know, when shit is getting real and we're spending time together, that they actually just bail. And so for me, I'm on the other end of that being like, well, shit, there's a year of my life. not entirely like that, but it has a cost, right? Mm-hmm. Emotional cost, a time cost.
Opportunity cost.
Yeah. Something that Greg revealed to me before we started recording, I don't think, Julie, you caught this, is Greg, you did make a big move in Bozeman. You bought a place that you're currently living in. So that's very much, even if you told me you're like, I can always Airbnb it out if I'm not here, it still shows that you're putting down roots somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that does make dating a little bit more intentional for people that you meet.
Totally.
Yeah, I think I know myself and I need to like physically root myself to places. Otherwise, I'm just going to take off again. So like, it's a way for myself to be like, no, you're
self-awareness.
Fucking doing this.
That is self-awareness. I mean, I was going to say, like, I think even in a transient city like San Francisco and New York and some of the other major cities out there, hearing someone like has a place that they own does show, or they've been in the city for 10 years or whatever it is, it does show that they are committed to where they want to live, if that's something that you want also. I guess now that you're in Bozeman, now that you have the place, what do you think is going to be different, like outside of some of the more intentionality that you mentioned earlier?
I mean, I think my mindset is a little different. Like I have a routine, which is not something I've had for the past 4 years, basically three, four years. I have a gym I go to, you know, there's like, I'm starting to meet people around town. And I found that my mindset around dating has changed a little bit as well. I'm a little bit more serious about trying to find a good match and just making sure that I'm being available to people, trying to be around, honestly. It's very easy to just be like, no, I would, but I'm gone that weekend.
Yeah, I have a good feeling about this for you, Greg. I really do.
Thank you. I'm not as sure as you are because I moved from a big city where there's a lot of gay men.
That might be the only thing not in your favor.
That being said, Bozeman is very outdoorsy. Yeah. And I think part of me is like, well, yeah, there's less options here, but hopefully there's more of the kind of right option for me.
Right. Well, you hear abundance of choice all the time, how that's not always the best thing. And I think you hear this even like in big cities, it can be hard to date when there's zillions of prospects because there's always the bigger, better, brighter syndrome, right? So I think I agree with you, it might let you focus more and really get to know the people that are in your surroundings.
And you said something that was so key. You said there may be more choices for people who are better fitted for me. You could be in a city with a million gay men who are just not your type. Who cares? There's a million of them. Wouldn't you rather be in a city? Yeah. Maybe they're like 10, but they're all your type and are on your same wavelength.
Totally. I think this is a good segue to takeaways. But like one thing that's coming to my mind too, just kind of on this exact topic, is just because, you know, I don't think there's ever a right or wrong way to date. Like I do think you do need to know who you are and what you want to do with your life. We had another guest from last season, John Kim, say that before I was saying like it's where I'm going and who's coming with me. And I think there is a little bit of a balance there, is because you can't be 100% like it's all my way and then I'm just gonna see who comes along with me. But at the same time, setting yourself up for success and being in the types of environments you want to be in and being around the types of people that, you know, could be a good fit is kind of step number one. So I think that it's not all or nothing, that you can't live like the life that's authentic to you. But then my other takeaway is you still need to make space for someone. Like if you're always on the run, you're never like allowing someone to fold into the life. Like what you said was so key, Greg. It's even if it's like mundane things, but just having a schedule that you're doing, someone can be in that life with you. But if you're always running from place to place, it's very hard to get that person in that life. And I think sometimes we just need to sit with things. And that can be, you know, even if you're on the road, maybe you are sitting and having all the deep thoughts. And it's not, again, right or wrong that you're on the road or you're in one location. But just even if you're in one location, running around all the time, or when things get difficult, even if you're in a relationship, when things get difficult, you're running. You do need to kind of sit with the uncomfortable feelings as much as the good things that come through with life.
Totally. And like a lot of this stuff is like coping mechanisms, right? Mm-hmm. There's some maladaptive stuff in there and there's some stuff that's really positive as well. Mm-hmm. But I think recognizing that can be a way to just deal with it, to give it a name. And then when it's kind of acting up in a negative way, then you can name it and be like,
That's what's happening.
Like, I need to like, you know, just turn the volume down for a little bit.
I love that. It's not changing your whole lifestyle. It's not changing who you are at the core, but recognizing it. So when it comes up, you know, your instinct isn't to run. It's to be like, okay, I need to sit with this and see if I can get through it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the instinct for me is frequently to run, but yeah. Now I can like turn the volume down on that voice and just be like, no, like this isn't what you want long term. This is going to prevent you from getting the things you want long term.
Absolutely. Something I think about all the time is we're constantly running away. What if we shifted that phrase to running into? Instead of running away from my hometown, running away from the city that I hate, I'm running into a new place. I'm running into new people. And that way we kind of feel like we're not escaping, is that we're more open to experiencing. I'm also interested in this idea of like, we mentioned this word intentionality quite a bit. And I think a lot of times we do things without intentions. We don't set the intentions. Sometimes we run away from things. And even if you set the intention of running away from something, at least it's an intention, but we don't even do that. It's sort of this like just a reaction we have and then we just do it. What if we were to be more intentional about the lifestyle that we choose to lead? I want to live in a nomadic lifestyle, but because my intention is to experience the world as much as I can and feel as much love as much as I can. That's an intention. And something that is great about intentions is that we can always change it. And I hate that in today's society, we're so tied to our identity that when we think about changing our intentions, we're thinking about, oh, does this change my identity? Like Greg, you're tied to a nomadic lifestyle. So now you feel like you have to fill that identity, right? Because everybody knows me as someone they can't catch. So I got, where's my next place to go? But also know that your identity changes all the time. You can be nomad, Greg, today, but you can also be rooted Greg tomorrow. But who cares what other people think, right? We're just like all constantly trying to fulfill these identity roles and expectations when we forget everything's constantly evolving. So I love where you are right now, Greg, because not only have you evolved to a new, I don't know, stage in life, but you haven't given up your core values, which is still experiencing the world as much as you can.
It's a new chapter. You're just evolving a bit.
It's definitely a new chapter for sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing all about this new chapter. Hopefully this gave a lot of food for thought, whatever people's, you know, life goals are. And I think like the whole thing about the new chapters, it's okay to have a chapter that is more about you and self-discovery. Because sometimes you need that chapter to get to the next chapter that you are looking for more of, you know, something serious or to settle down and really plant those roots. So I'm a firm believer that kind of everything plays the way it's supposed to. And there's not really any right or wrong timelines for people. And people just kind of need to zig and zag at whatever pace makes sense for them.
Yeah. No, none of this is wasted time at all.
Yeah, for sure.
You're learning all the time. And we're learning from you vicariously as your embosement.
I mean, yeah, I have no regrets. My time on the road was amazing. And it had, just like everything else, it had its ups and its downs.
But keep us updated on all of your adventures, even if all your adventures are evolved around Bozeman. We're stoked to hear that too. I'm going to start looking at real estate in Bozeman because apparently that's like the hot market right now. Thanks for that tip. Thank you very much.
Yeah, please don't. All of Bozeman will hate me if they hear you say that.
Greg is like exiled from Bozeman.
Please
Julie,
edit
can
that
we
out.
Just put like a beep over Bozeman? Like every time we say Bozeman, like beep.
Right.
Beep Montana.
So funny. Yeah,
I mean, I'm just kidding. The word is out. I mean, it's been in the New York Times.
So obviously, it's the it spot.
I mean, obviously, Dateable's at the same level as Planet Money in the New York Times, but...
Right.
Thank you, Greg, for sharing your journey and your story with us. For any listeners right now, we are still booking guests for our season. If you have a story of evolution like Greg's, we love to hear it. And while you're sending us your story online, just go to datablepodcast.com. You can also give us a review in Apple Podcasts. 5 stars. Hey, just trying to be giving right now. Let's do 5 stars and just like a line or two about why you love us, why you love the show, and what you've learned from the show what you've learned from Greg. Those reviews really help us to shape our seasons and to shape our content. And the better reviews, the more reviews, the better our content. It just goes hand in hand that way. All right. Okay, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you so much, Greg. Enjoy your new chapter, and we will be keeping in touch for sure. You're not getting away from us this time. And then we're going to wrap this up.
Stay Dateable.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
Want to continue the conversation? First, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @DatablePodcast. Tag us in any post with the hashtag #StayDatable, and trust us, we look at all of those posts. Then head over to our website, datablepodcast.com. There you'll find all the episodes, as well as articles, videos, and our coaching service with vetted industry experts. You can also find our premium Why series, where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We're also downloadable for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, and other podcast platforms. Your feedback is valuable to us, so don't forget to leave us a review. And most importantly, remember to stay dateable.